In the last two lectures, we discussed who is God and who is Jesus. And now we are going to talk about who are you. And who you are is, who are you? I don't think you grasp what I was doing as far as the number of letters that I use. And so when I said, who is God, it said 11. There's 11 letters there. Who is God? Question mark. 11 letters. Who is Jesus? 13 letters. Who are you? 12 letters. Why did I make Jesus 13? Because you made Jesus 13. You made the one is three and the three is one. When I said, who is God? God is one and one is one. And now when I say, who are you? You are 12. And who are you? You are the 12 disciples of Jesus. You are the 12 disciples of Jesus. But among you, there is one, obviously, that is not good. And it is your job, disciples, is not to wait until the evil one betrays Jesus and causes his death. You have to find and eliminate that Judas within you. I'm not saying kill him. Stop him. Stop him. Because if you are the disciples of Jesus, and you are, otherwise why would you call yourselves Christians? If you are the true disciples of Jesus, are you going to wait until Jesus is betrayed and hung on a tree before you save him? And I'm telling you now, you save him now. And if you decree that what I'm telling you is true, you could take him off the cross. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Not only am I telling you to do that, but I'm showing you how to do that. By believing in the truth. By receiving the words that he gave you before the cross. And delivering only the words that Jesus said. Only the words that Jesus gave you to deliver. The words that he said he gave you. And the words that you said you received. These are the only words you are to deliver to your families and to the world. And if there is Judas, even if he is the preacher of your church, who is up there, who keeps nailing your Savior to a cross, you get rid of that preacher. You get rid of Judas no matter where Judas is and no matter what he's doing. And how do you know Judas? You know him because he has horns. You know him because he has three branches. You know him because he has a cross hanging around his neck. Okay? It is your job to save Jesus from the cross and from anything that will put a blemish on his dignity, on his honor, on his respect, on his completeness. Because a perfect man is not fit for a cross. Only the wicked are fit for the cross. A perfect man is a resident of paradise and heaven. A perfect man is what we should aim to be. A perfect man is what God made. And God said what he made was good. A perfect man is Adam before his fall. A deficient man is you, Adam, after his fall. You can take out the Judas from within you. you could cut down the cross, the three branches, because it's Lucifer. Cross 666 is Lucifer. 666 is this false image of Jesus that you have, 666, that he comes and the only way he could save you is by doing nothing. Jesus did nothing. Do you understand what it means? When you say Jesus, he did all these wonderful things, but you don't talk about none of them. All you talk about is the cross. What did he do on the cross? And that you sing him songs about everything that he did on the cross, but you don't do nothing on the cross. You can't even fucking move. You're nailed to a cross. You can't move your arms, your legs. You can't even fucking breathe. If you want to breathe, you have to put weight on your legs and you have to lift yourself up. And only after you don't have the power to do that are you going to asphyxiate or whatever. It means that you cannot get oxygen into you. And then you die. It is a humiliating death. It is the death of somebody who has no power. And Jesus had the power of heaven behind him, even though he did not need it, because when were they able to even lay hands on him? Don't you read your Bible? Many times they tried to grab him and do all kinds of things to him, and they were never able to do anything to him. They never even, no matter how many Pharisees or scribes or Romans were around, was any one of them able to hurt Jesus? Did you hear about Jesus even suffering like a broken bone? No. How does somebody who give life to the dead, how could something happen to him? It's not possible. It's not possible. Did you read about him getting cut and bleeding? No. Did you hear about him falling from the mountain stumbling and falling and hurting his knee? Where do you read that at? And yet, once he left his body, then his body went through what it went through. That doesn't mean he was in it, but who was in it? Jesus, who had the power, put Judas in it. Why? Because Judas is Satan. Judas 55 is Satan 55. And Satan, who entered into Judas in Luke chapter 22, is the same Satan that was hung on the cross inside the body of Jesus. Now that's something that you could do. That is something that Jesus does. That is something that Jesus absolutely did. Was he hung on the cross, powerless, helpless? No. He's a powerful king. He's a mighty God. But what did he do? He put the two that conspired with each other, Satan and Judas, he put both of them inside his body, and he said, okay, there you go. You want me crucified? Now you're going to suffer that which you wanted me to suffer through. Why? Because that's what the book says. Jesus told you this, didn't he? He was an expert in the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, they also had a cross, and they erected it for the servant of God, in this case, Jesus. But in the case of Esther, it was Mordecai. But who got hung on the cross? Haman, the one who wanted to crucify Mordecai, he's the one that got hung. And the Bible is simply a repetition of the same story. The Bible cannot possibly contradict itself. And therefore, if it says in Esther that the transgressor was the one hanging on the cross, we cannot possibly, whether we liked it or not, we're not going to change the story, and now Jesus is the one hanging on the cross. It doesn't work that way, because the Bible is just your story. And you cannot be on the cross and not on the cross unless that's what happened. And that's what I want you to know, that that's exactly what happened. It was necessary. Why? Because we needed the three branches to grow. We needed you to have something to cut down. If this was a perfect world right now, and there was no three branches, and there was no cross, then what would you have to do in order to deserve creation? There is not enough evil. Do you understand that everything was done for your benefit? Everything was done in order for you to come in the end and say, yeah, you know what, that makes sense. You know what, I should cut down the three branches of the cross. That's the only way you could achieve happiness and prosperity. And that's what you, Captain Marvel, can do for America. That's what Wonder Woman can do for America. What? Use your Superman, your Wonder Woman. Now you're Superman. Because you are man. And man, every man is a Superman. And so you have inside your eyes this red beam, laser beam that you could shoot out and shoot it, and you could cut down the cross. You could cut down them three evil branches. And you could leave one. Leave the stump of the tree. Leave one. Why? Because you could never go against one. Don't even try to cut down one. I'll feel bad for you. You could never do anything to one. One is the one who did all this, and he hasn't done a single thing yet. One is somebody that you never want to mess with, never want to go against, never even want to have a bad thought against. Even a thought, that's one. So who are you? You are the 12 disciples, but one of you is a devil. Like, well, how do you know? Like I said, I don't reinvent the gospel or the Bible. I'm not going to deliver to you a new gospel or a new Bible. What I'm going to do is just explain to you. You. I mean, that's what the title of this lecture is. Who are you? Should you smoke cigarettes? No. Am I smoking a cigarette? Yes. Am I a hypocrite? No. Everything I do for a reason, even if you don't understand that reason. But since I'm talking about it, I might as well explain it to you. I hate cigarettes, but now I love cigarettes. But in order for me to convince those who are smoking that I'm not telling them something that I'm not willing to do myself, when the time comes, and the time is nearly here to where everybody has to quit smoking, I will tell them, I'm with you. I'm a smoker. I'm going to quit smoking. Well, I don't agree with your methods of teaching. Tough shit. I gave you a book, the same book that was given to me, and I teach it the way I want. You could teach it the way you want. But if you put a cross in it, you are the Judas. And they should get rid of you. I don't mind you teaching the gospel in the way that Betts delivers the message of hope, love, and eternal life. There's no eternal life on a cross. I don't know what you've been doing. You have not been delivering the words of Jesus. According to Jesus himself, this is not something that I'm saying, even though I am Jesus and I am saying it. So what do we do? How do we find Judas? Is that the question? Who gives a fuck about Judas? Well, you said, did I? I do. What I meant is Judas is the cross. When you cut down the three branches, do I have to keep saying what are the three branches? In America, do you know what the three branches are? Every church on earth, do you know what the three branches are? They are the three growing out of the one, which is the cross. It is the cross. Do I need to say it again? It's the 666. Maybe you understand that. 666. Yeah, I don't like 666. Well, it's the cross. No. I like the cross. I don't like 666. It's the one and the same. 666, believe it or not, is also 666. And it's also 666. And at the same time, it is 666. And if you don't know what that means, oh, it's 666. I don't think we could do that. Why not? There's 11 of you. And do you know what 11? 11 is Jesus. Jesus Christ, 11 letters. Jesus, the Son of Mary in Arabic, 11 letters. His name in Arabic and English is 11. And that's what you are. Because you took the Judas from within you, and the Judas is the cross. The one who is in charge of the treasury. You remember Judas? What was his job? Okay, Jesus picked 12 disciples. One of them was in charge of the treasury. That was Judas, the thief. The bad apple, the bad fruit. He's the bad fruit that you keep eating from. Do you see? You keep eating of the same tree, of the cross. And you keep poisoning yourselves and poisoning your children. And you kill them because you said, here, eat this tree. And you put it on them. And then they tattoo it on themselves when they grow older. Everybody got a cross on them nowadays. If you got a tattoo, most likely, if you have many tattoos, one of your tattoos is a cross. And many people have many crosses. You want the mark of the beast? It's 666. If you live in a mathematical program, and you do, then all you have to do is program computer, remove all 666s from this computer program. It's like purging of a virus. The same thing. The best way is what? Clean everything out. That's called format and recover. Format your brain. Or format. Well, I don't want to format my brain. Why not? It's corrupted. You can't even see. You can't hear. You don't understand anything. Format it and put Jesus in there and his words in there. Put the gospel in there, the real gospel. The one that contains nothing from the moment Jesus said, I delivered the words and they received them. So anything that happened after that moment, you should never speak about. You should never mention. You should never sing about. You should never celebrate. You should never honor. You should never tattoo. You should never put it around your neck. You should never put it around your house. Anywhere in your house. Anywhere in your church. Anywhere in your on your desk. All you're doing is making an agreement with death. And that's what you're saying. I am okay with my agreement with death. Even the death of a cross. That salvation comes from death, and it doesn't come from work. Is that how you pay your employees? Well, I need to know who does the least. That guy hanging over there on the tree, smoking a cigarette, doing nothing. I'm going to make him manager, general manager. I'm going to make him the CEO of this company because look how he is doing absolutely nothing on the cross. That's what I want. That's the image of victory. That's the one who's going to teach everybody how to do things. And if he teaches everybody how to hang on a cross and do absolutely nothing, smoke a cigarette over there, that, you know, it's a 24-hour break, your company will go nowhere. That is not, I mean, use reason. The victory does not come from death. Victory comes from you defeating death, escaping the cross, escaping all the death that there is, and really living according to your destiny. And if your destiny is to be hung on a cross and to be shot by a bullet, that's not a destiny that I'm looking forward towards, nor should you by any means. So who are you? You have a choice. You could be one of the 11. Or you could be the 12s. You could be one of the 11 disciples, or you could be Judas. The door is wide open for you. You make your own choice. Now, once you make your choice, and you say, look, I did it. I hung on the cross. I'm like, yeah, but you were Judas. And so you're going to suffer for being on the cross because a servant of God does not have to be on a cross, and you're cursed, and now I'm going to punish you. I'm going to take you and the cross you're hanging on, and I'm going to throw you both in the hellfire. But why? Because my disciples, I told them, go and preach my gospel, the words I gave you. And I gave you the words, and I finished the work before the cross. Why are you even saying cross anywhere? It just makes no sense. It is not logical. It is not conducive to the growth of the church. You are inside 1111. Church, the word church, C-H, 1-1. C-H at the end, 1-1. You begin with one being one. The one does not cross the other one. 11 stand forever together. And they go parallel to each other to eternity. And they never touch each other. They never cross each other. How could you be a church with a cross? You don't begin with a 20. You don't end with a 20. 11-11. That's what you are. Know yourself. You are, as part of the word church, C-H, you are between the 1-1-1-1. There is no cross anywhere in there, church. Nowhere. Where did you come up with the cross? Don't you know who you are, church? You are one, the image of one who is Jesus, delivering the words of Jesus, the words of life. Don't deliver death. Don't deliver crucifixion. Fiction. All you're delivering is fiction. Crucifixion. It's all fiction made by Lucifer, 666. Who was on the cross, whose name is Satan, with a big cross in the middle, and to his right there is one, and to his left there is one. That is Satan. That is not Christ. That is not Jesus. That is not Yeshua. That is not the one you love. Now, if you love your child, would you nail him to a cross? Jesus told you, which one of you, if his son asks him for a piece of bread, that he would give him a stone. Why are you giving Jesus a stone? Did not Jesus ask his father? And he said, Father, let this cup pass away from me without me drinking from it. You think God? So that means either Jesus lied when he told us, which one of you, if he asked his father for bread, he would give him a stone? Or which one of you, if he asked his father for a piece of fish, his father would give him a snake? None. So why would God give him that? And when I say God, I mean Adam. Because as I said, it was Adam who called down from heaven and said, this is my well-beloved son. Is Jesus the son of Adam? Of course. Is Adam God? In a sense, he is the image of God. So it's easily confusing. Like if you hear now God's voice calling down from heaven and saying, this is Israel. And by the way, he did say, Israel is my firstborn. If I'm his firstborn, how could Jesus be the only son or the only begotten of the Father? No. Israel and Jesus is one and the same, just like Jesus and Adam are one and the same. It is through understanding of who you are and what your mission on earth is that you could deliver Christianity from the darkness and into the light. It is only by you doing what Jesus commanded you to do before the crucifixion and delivering the gospel. Had you delivered the gospel that was given to you by Jesus 2,000 years ago, in 100 years or 200 years, the kingdom of God would have been there much, much sooner. And the only reason that it has not come sooner is because you have not done what Jesus told you to do. You did not deliver his words. You delivered the words of Lucifer all over the earth. And you're like, well, we need to deliver more Lucifer's word. Let's all work together. We're going to give them more Bibles. And they all say cross, cross, cross. As a matter of fact, on the Bible itself, it says cross. And that's what we're going to do. That's not going to help. That's each actually makes it worse. It makes it worse. You are still not delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus Christ ends when Jesus said, I have delivered the words. I had finished the work, and my disciples, they received them. That could not possibly have anything to do with the cross. So anything from that moment, from John chapter 17, and anything that mentions cross or death or resurrection, you should not even talk about. You should not even mention at all, period. Okay, I hope I made myself clear. That's who you are, and that's what your job is. If you want to deliver the Bible, because Bible adds up to the number 30, just know that in the Bible, anything that talks about cross and anything after Jesus said, I had finished the work, is contaminated heavily with Satan's words and teachings and a whole bunch of 666. And so I would advise you and everybody on earth to recognize the truth that is and should be obvious to everyone, that when Jesus said, I had finished the work, I had delivered the words, and they had received them, that Jesus was not saying the word cross anywhere. I can't see.